This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولدي آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's khutbah, I will try to talk about the 16th ayah of Surah Luqman. And in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal is now continuing the conversation he was having with his son, that Luqman was having with his son after the intervention that Allah had of the two ayat before. In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya Bunayya, my beloved son, or my young son. So before the advice is given, again, love is expressed. And that's important because we saw before when Allah was talking to, describing how he spoke to his son, how Luqman spoke to his son, the first time he spoke to him, he said, Ya Bunayya, la tushrik billah. My beloved son, my little son, don't do shirk with Allah. Now he's saying it again. Ya Bunayya, my beloved son, my young boy. So the idea being, it's not enough to express love once. And it's not enough to give advice lovingly one time and say, well, first time I spoke to him, it was lovingly. Now he gets it. Now I need to get tougher. The idea is to kind of reinforce that advice is given, and especially advice pertaining to deen is given, in the most loving, gentle of context. The problem is, when you give advice related to Allah in a harsh way, then the harshness gets associated with the deen, right? So in the child's mind, whenever mom or dad talk to me about Allah, they're mad. So that easily gets the osmosis happens. It's not they that are mad, it's this religion is just makes everybody angry. Because every time my parents talked to me about religion, they were angry. So there's a confusion easily happening in the mind of a child that they're thinking that the parents' rage or the parents' upsetness is actually coming from Allah himself. It doesn't help that sometimes elders in trying to correct children, and we need to correct them, and tough love is necessary, but don't drag Allah into your tough love, right? So if you're mad at your child, say, Allah will punish you for this. Wait, hold on. You wouldn't even say that to an enemy. Like you wouldn't even say that to someone you don't like, that may Allah punish you. Right? So this is the kind of thing we should avoid doing. And yeah, there's a time for it. There is a time for waylaka amin. There are different contexts and different kinds of advice. But generally speaking, the starting point is not, if I'm not tough, they're not going to listen. The starting point is actually bashiran and then nadhiran, like the messengers. Good news first. Gentleness first. Speak lovingly first. And so that's inside of Ya Bunayya. But this ayah is one of the most amazing journeys, like journeys of imagination in the Quran. And what I hope to illustrate to you today is that journey. Like, how is Allah describing this image that this father tried to paint for his son? He says, innaha intaku, even if, think about the case where no doubt, even if it were myth. Now what is it? We don't know. So he's kind of, the father's already starting with a kind of mystery. What is it? He didn't say. And even the son is thinking, what is he referring to by it? Certainly, even if it was what? In taku, even if it happened to be mithqala habbatin, if it happened to be the weight of a single mustard seed. And what I want you to do after this khutbah is done is Google what a mustard seed looks like and how big it is and how much it weighs. It's actually interesting that Allah didn't say wazna or thiqla habbatin. He said mithqala habbatin. Mithqal in Arabic is the pattern mif'al is used for devices, for tools. So, for example, fath is opening in Arabic, right? And the device used to open a door, a key, is called a miftah. And subh is morning. And the device that makes you emulate the light of the morning at night is a lamp, so they call it a misbah from subh. The same way, a device or a standard that's used to figure out how much something weighs is called a mithqal or a mizan, right? These words, that when they start with a mi like that, they are an illustration of some kind of a device or a tool or something they use for a purpose. You know, it comes in handy. Well, you know how a weighing scale would be called a mithqal. But you know how we measure sometimes in America, we measure in pounds and ounces and things like that. And in England, they measure in kilograms and grams, right? The metric system. Those systems of measurement would be called mithqal. Okay, their means, those standards are something by which we measure. Now Allah here says mithqala habbatin, which is strange because mithqala means the standard of measurement, the standard by which you would measure a single seed of mustard, a mustard seed. Now the thing about that is there is no practical way, especially at the time the ayah was revealed, and even now nobody says, hey, I want to know how much a mustard seed weighs. So somebody said, give me a cup of mustard seed, give me half an ounce, give me a pound, give me what, you know, a kilogram, half a kilogram. You know, you'll either weigh it in volume, how much is this bag of mustard seed, or you have a standard weight of some heavy kind, right? But here Allah is saying, he's mentioning a standard which human beings don't use. So why would he call it a standard? Because we only think of a standard when everybody's using it, right? So from the very beginning, the father is talking to the son about a standard that doesn't exist in human measurement. It's too small, it's too refined for human beings to have any use for it. Mithqala habbatin, the standard weight of a single seed. And habba with the ta marbuta at the end is, you know, this is the mufrad form of hab. Hab means seed, but it's ism jins, it could be seed in general, right? But when you say a single seed, a single grain seed, that's called a habba. The ta marbuta does that. Then he says, min khardalin. Now, the khardal, which I translated as mustard seed, it can also be looked at, this is not just min bayaniya, it can actually be habbatin min khardalin. It's interesting that the word khardala as a verb was used when they had a palm tree. And you know palm trees, they're waiting for the dates to get ripe. But sometimes because of wind or some animal hit the tree or something, some of the dates that were not fully ripe yet, they haven't reached their color yet, they fall off, right? And those, the dates that fall off, nobody cares about them. They're, because people want to come to the palm tree, the gardener will just clean those off and get rid of them. He's not going to take the seed out of those because they haven't matured yet. What's he want the seed out of? The ones that have matured, you understand? Khardal is actually also used, or mukhardil was used actually, for the seeds or the premature fruits that fell off the palm tree that were basically cut off or cut aside. And when they would, you know, cut up an animal, khardal al-lahma. So when they would cut up an animal and they're making, like, you can think of minced meat or something like that. Like a really small piece of meat. And when, you know, when you're cutting up meat or you're cooking or something like that, you don't use every, you can't possibly use every single piece. When you cut up like vegetables or something like that, there's some peel that always comes on the side. Something that gets overlooked. No matter how much you try to scrape it from the cutting board into the pan, something flies off, right? That little bit of a mess, that would be a khardal too. Meaning it's cut off from the original and it's insignificant. So khardal either literally means a mustard seed or it means something cut off that your attention wouldn't go to. Right? And he says if something existed that was the weight of a single mustard seed, Even if it was the, and it's not even a mustard seed, it's the weight of a mustard seed. Now think of anything that could be the weight of a mustard seed. And then on top of that, think of something that your attention wouldn't go to anyway, because your attention would be elsewhere. Now imagine the khardal that fell, the palm tree, the date that fell, it has a seed inside it. So it's not even it's being overlooked, the seed inside is being overlooked even more. And even from that little piece of fruit that's not mature that fell, it's not the size or the weight of a mustard seed. It would have to be a hundredth of that for it to be the weight of a mustard seed, right? So he's talking about something really, really puny. Like in a literary sense, he's talking about something atomic, right? It's a speck that he's talking about. Then he says, okay, fine. Now, there's this little tiny little speck, a seed. Min khardal, fatakun fi sakhratin. Then you find that this little seed would end up inside of a boulder. Al-hijr al-kabir, al-azim, al-sulb. A large rock, a large boulder that is impossible to move, right? That is lodged inside the earth. That kind of a boulder is typically called a sakhra. So now we've got this puny little seed. First of all, how did this seed end up, or something the weight of a single seed, end up inside of a boulder? So now two things have happened. First of all, it's not noticeable. Second of all, which specific one? If I say, I want you to find me that one seed, and there was like 20 seeds on the ground, or 100 on the ground, you know, how do you want me to find that one? They all look the same. Then on top of that, find me that one seed that is inside the middle of a what? A boulder. فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I'll translate the whole thing first, this whole phrase first, then come back to this image. He says, or that seed is somewhere in the skies. فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, or it's in the earth. يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهِ, Allah will bring it forward. That little, whatever it is, that's the size of a seed, even if it is inside of a boulder. Now let's think about something being inside of a boulder. If I said to you, there's a diamond inside of this boulder, what would you have to do to access that diamond? Wouldn't you have to cut the rock? Wouldn't you have to start smashing the rock? If I said there's something very, and by the way, a mustard seed, if it is a seed, is not hard like a diamond. So if you hit a diamond, it won't smash. But if you hit the seed, it can get crushed. And completely, it's puny to begin with. And it's not a hard solid. But it's inside of a rock. So the one who's cutting that rock would have to be extremely careful in cutting it open. Now imagine the task of cutting open a boulder to find a single piece of seed. Even if you were able to cut the boulder precisely into two halves, does that mean it's going to be right on top? No, you would have to cut this boulder into so many tiny, 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 tiny little pieces, almost to the point where it's the size of the boulder, but in pieces that are the same size as the mustard seed. How possible is that for human beings? And what kind of force would that take? And by the way, if we did try to do that, we'd have to blow up the whole thing, right? Or we'd take a drilling machine or something and crack away at it. And if we were to do that, then what would happen in the end? We'd end up crushing that seed to begin with. And in all of that mess, even if the seed was there, it'd be covered in the dust and the dirt of the rock and whatever residue from our expedition, we wouldn't be able to find it. We wouldn't be able to see it. And that's the impossible task of finding that seed in the middle of a rock. But Allah says no. But what about, it could be inside that rock, but it could also be somewhere in the skies. How many skies are there? 7. We barely have access to the first one. Now this seed could exist somewhere in the 7 skies. It could be inside of a rock that's part of a meteor traveling somewhere billions of light years away. And we have no idea. We can't even imagine this speck existing somewhere. I want you to think of what Sahib was telling me today. I want you to think of a drop of water that you spill into the ocean. A drop that you drop into from your cup, it went into the ocean. And somebody's asking you to recover that drop. Find me that exact drop. Right? And this is the kind of impossibility that's being painted here. He's asking his son to imagine this tiny little thing that is impossible to even recover from inside of a boulder. But then let's imagine, okay, at least you've zeroed in on the location. It's inside this boulder. Even then, it's an impossible mission. But no, it could be anywhere in the universe.
It could be anywhere, even in beyond the first sky. أو في السماوات, a seed. Or, let's go even further, أو في الأرض. Or it could be deep inside the earth. It could be inside. So if you started digging one place in the earth, you could keep digging and digging and digging. Maybe you'll find it in that spot, but it could be 1 inch over and you wouldn't know. Isn't that the case? And it could be anywhere on earth. It could be anywhere under the seas. It could be anywhere in the skies. It could be, what is Allah continuously highlighting? By the way, these are three images. The seed could be inside of a rock, it could be in the skies, and it could be in the earth, right? In one case, when he started by something that the eye can't perceive, and the mind wouldn't even go towards. That makes it already impossible. Then on top of that, it's inside of a boulder, which means it's impossible to access. And even if you know where it is, you don't have the strength or the tools or the precision or the means to break the rock open to get to it. You don't have the power to do it. You don't have the ability to do it. And then even if you did have the power to break that, it's somewhere in the skies which you can never even reach. So lack of access, too much distance, the skies, or it's too far deep inside the earth, there's too much darkness down there. There's no light. Impossible on top of impossible on top of impossible. And the point being made is something very, very simple. And what is it? He said, it's not even the seed. I keep using the seed as an example. He said, even if it is the equivalent weight of a seed. But what's it? It could be your intention. It could be the one little glance you took. It could be the one word you said under your breath that nobody heard. It could be a secret so impossible to find by anybody else because it's been buried away. It could be a good deed. It could be a bad deed. It could be a good thought. It could be a bad thought. It could be a good intention. It could be a bad intention. It could be something that no one has ever even imagined existing that you and I have done, or that you and I have perceived, or you and I have allowed it to influence our actions. It could be that. And Allah says, يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهِ. Allah will bring it out. Allah will bring it forward. And this bringing forward is the strange word to Allah. He didn't say Allah knows where it is. He didn't just say that. He said Allah will bring it. So let's explore that a little bit. You see, if someone was to ask me, forget a boulder, if somebody just gave me a piece of concrete, which is much easier to break than a boulder, and said there's an egg inside, can you recover the egg without breaking it, right? The amount of precision with which I would have to cut the concrete and the care with which I'd have to cut the concrete is incredible, isn't it? And I could have tools that can break a wall. I can have tools that are powerful like a bulldozer. I can have heavy tools. But heavy tools they're too powerful for this job. Weak tools might be too weak. Powerful tools might be too powerful. I need precise access. Subtle, laser precise access. You know how like in surgery, some of you viewing are in the medical profession, in surgery, you have to have laser precise tools to make the incision, to insert the scope, and to go and remove the tumor, or to remove the cyst, or remove whatever, right? And one little millimeter this way or that way, and the person can die, or have permanent brain damage, or whatever else, you understand? So you have to have very, very precise tools. Now, what's the word for when you have extreme precision and you're very delicate in what you do? That's actually called in Arabic, lutf. The Arabic word for that is lutf. And look at how this ayah ends. Inna Allaha latifun khabir. One of Allah's names is latif. Subtle, delicate. Allah is subtle and delicate. Actually, the word lutf has to do with permeating. Like, you know how smoke can go through your clothes? Or dust can go through your clothes. When something is able to pass through something and you wouldn't even realize it, right? Nowadays we're worried about a virus because it can pass through our nostrils and we won't even realize it. So the virus actually has lutf in it. It's too gentle and too delicate for us to perceive, but it passes through. It goes right through, right? Allah's name Latif is so beautiful in this context because it can pass through the layers of rock. Allah's lutf can pass through all the layers of hard rock and get to that one seed that nobody else could have access to. And even if they did find it, they'd end up crushing it. And even if they held it in their hand, they wouldn't know if that is what it is. They wouldn't know. But Allah is Latif. And what's remarkable even above that, so that's Allah's control over space, right? His control over space. But the other name of Allah in this ayah is إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ, that Allah is fully aware, has full news. And you know what that means? Allah doesn't just know that the seed is there, but Allah knows what plant, what seed was planted that was grown, that grew a million seeds, and which one of those seeds traveled around, and which one of the seeds got lodged and eventually got surrounded by rock. He knows the story behind the seed that's going in the past, and he knows where that seed is going to end up in the future. He didn't just find it in the present. And that's his knowledge. That's him being khabir. So in saying the word Latif and Khabir, the two names of Allah here, it's as if Allah demonstrated, or Luqman is demonstrating to his son, Allah's complete control over space and time. In Latif and Khabir. It's incredible. And so when he paints this picture for his son, إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And then this was just about the rock. Then it could be, this seed could be somewhere in the skies, in the unseen realms. أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, or it could be anywhere in the earth. Even if we discover something, you know, nowadays we discover historical artifacts. People discover dinosaur bones and stuff like that. People discover, you know, ancient graves or tombs. But we don't know the history, do we? We don't know exactly what these people lived like, what their story was. We just found something. But we don't know what it came from, where it's headed, what its value was. We know nothing. We know bits and pieces, clues that we're trying to piece together. Allah is Latif in that He knows exactly where it is. And His knowledge permeates through. There's no filters that can block out the knowledge of Allah. And then He's Khabir, He's known all about it all along. But even knowing and having access isn't enough. Someone has to be powerful enough to know about it, exactly where it is, to be able to sense it and perceive it. But beyond that, to actually pull it out and bring it forward for its purpose. So the ayah says, يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهُ, Allah will bring it forward. That's a remarkable power in and of itself. And that power is based on these names of Allah Azza wa Jal, Latifun Khabir. The point that the father is making to his son. The son, there are plenty of things you're going to do, I'll have no idea. There are plenty of things that you'll experience in life and you'll have no idea. You'll have no idea what people's real intention was. You'll have no idea that someone's saying one thing to you but doing another behind your back. You won't know. I won't know when I'm not around whether you're praying or not. I won't know if you can be pretty good at erasing your digital footsteps, who you're talking to, who you're texting, what you're viewing. You can erase your browser history. You can wipe out your iCloud drive. You can clean up your call log. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can have secret apps. I won't know. There's no way for me to control where you're going to go, what you're going to do. There's going to be things that are going to be secret from the world and only you'll know about them. I don't know what fake screen name you're going to hide behind. I don't know. But you know what? It could be the biggest secret. It could be that no one will ever find out. It could be hidden and buried away, and you will live and die, and no one will ever even imagine that that existed. But Allah is going to bring that secret out, because when you think everybody else forgot, you start pretending it never happened. It doesn't exist. I can't be held accountable for it because I never got caught. And he's telling his son, Allah will bring it forward, good or bad. And that's, I highlighted the bad right now, but there's good also. You said things to someone that helped them. You gave somebody hope. You said a kind word to somebody. You said, just know that I'm praying for you. You just put your hand on a friend's shoulder and said, you know, if you ever need me. Just a kind word. You never thought twice about it. You know how the Prophet ﷺ told us that smiling at your believing brother is a kind of sadaqah, is a kind of charity, right? So you see somebody walk by, hey, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Just a genuine smile, that's all. And you went about going to eat your pizza. You didn't think twice about it. And in your mind, The things you have done are the things you're conscious of. The things that count is, oh, did I do Hajj or not? Did I fast or not? The good deeds that you can actually quantify you did. But there are things that you may have done that Allah knows about that are so tiny that even you won't know how tiny they are. You did them, you did good things, and you don't even know how tiny it is. And by the way, it's really remarkable that Allah gave the example of a what? A seed. And a seed inside of a rock cannot grow, isn't it? See, it's impossible for a seed inside of a rock to grow. But Allah says He can bring it out. And if Allah can bring out a seed, what can He do with that seed? He can turn it into a tree. He can turn that tree into a forest. He can turn that forest into endless fruits. He can turn those fruits into farms. He can do that all from what? One seed. And He's highlighting something so beautiful here. You might start underestimating the value of something good that you do. Because you compare your little seed's worth of a good thing to somebody else's mountain of a good thing. And you say to yourself, man, that person does so much good. I can never do that much good. So my stuff is worth a seed. Well, it doesn't even count. It has no value. Really? It has no value? Where did you get the idea that it has no value? Good or bad? وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ Whoever does the equivalent weight of a single speck of good or bad, يَرَهُ They'll see it. They'll absolutely see it. But in this ayah, it's something more. يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ Allah has power over it. Allah will bring it forward. And bringing it forward just may not just mean He'll bring it forward on Judgment Day. It could also mean Allah in the most unsuspecting ways. In ways that you will never know the impact of your good deed, and only Allah can know that He can grow your good deed. Allah is teaching this lesson through a father and a son's conversation in order to have, you know, because when children are growing up, one of the things that they are developing is self-respect, you know, a sense of identity, a sense of what is valuable and what is not valuable, right? And it's immature. When they're growing up, that sense is immature. So what is valuable is a certain brand of sneaker. And if you're wearing that certain brand of sneaker, you're more valuable. And if you're not wearing that, then you're less valuable as a person. If you're wearing certain kinds of clothes, you're more valuable. If you're not wearing those kinds of clothes, you're less valuable. If you look a certain way, if you have a certain kind of haircut, if you have a certain kind of phone, if you have a certain kind of device, if you've watched a certain kind of show, you can be with a group of people that have watched it. You're more valuable. Oh, you don't even know that? What that is? Psh, get out of here. If you have a PS5, you're more valuable. You're still, what? You have a what? A PS3? Are you a dinosaur? Right? You're less valuable. So value gets associated with what people see all around as valuable. Who's ever placed a value on one single seed of mustard that they've never even seen? That is cut off from all the other seeds because it's inside a boulder somewhere. Nobody places value on that. And the father is teaching his son, listen, people put fake value on things all around you. They put fake value on good and bad all around you. I don't want you to lose sight that all of that will disappear. And the only thing that will matter are the things that maybe nobody can see, but Allah always sees. Allah sees your intentions. Allah sees your good deeds. Allah sees your bad deeds. And He will bring them out, even if nobody else does. The good that you do that nobody else thinks is good is still good. And Allah, and it may never get appreciated in this life by anybody because it was inside a boulder or it was lost in the sky somewhere. Your good deed, Awfi Samawati, is really beautiful because you did a good deed and good deeds go up into the skies too. Right? They go up for evaluation into the skies. And it can also imply that when you do a good deed, nobody around you appreciated it. Nobody said, by the way, you did a really good job. Nobody said, I'm proud of you. Nobody, you know, because we look for validation. What is this ayah doing? It's also kind of giving validation. When you're doing something sincerely for Allah, Allah Himself is valuating it. He's giving it validation. You don't have to seek it somewhere else. You don't have to look for it. He's making this young man independent of so many forces from the outside that make him feel that my bad is not that bad or my good isn't good enough. Right? Both of those are very powerful negative forces, by the way. My bad is not that bad, and my good is not good enough. And both of those are being crushed by this one image. And what does it do for the son? Every time he's passing by a plant, that plant will have seeds inside it, right? And he's reminded, Look at what Allah did with that seed. Look at this, the greenery all around me, all of it at one point. That entire giant tree was at one point a seed. It was nothing else. It was just a seed. This entire field of crop was just a seed. The food that this entire earth is eating is reduced back to what? A seed. We're nourished by a seed. And something as insignificant and so small is sustaining the entire earth. Isn't it? Animals and human beings? Being sustained by seeds. By just seeds. It's something so small and yet something so powerful. Something with so much potential. And that's the last comment I'll make to you. You don't know the impact of what you're doing right now. I don't know. And you don't know. You might just be helping one person. You might just be doing one kind thing. You might even be just doing one good thing for your own self. You might just be doing one thing for your own self, but that one thing will have a chain of reactions. Not just one, an entire chain of reactions. One thing leading to another, that Allah has planned out. And the effect of it will seep through walls like Latif. And Allah knows the effect is going to have, and where that's going to end up. How things will connect one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. You can't control that. That's only in the hands of Allah. That's beyond your perception. And so this ayah is actually really about a reality, a true reality check. The most valuable things in life are the things we cannot perceive. And this is the reality of Judgment Day, when the things we could not see will be the most real. The things we didn't think about will be the things that we should have thought about the most. And the things that were distracting us and they were occupying us all the time all around us will disappear, haba'an manthura, like scattered dust. They won't mean anything. You know? Allah, the same one who will, a person wants to escape Allah. They don't want to stand in front of Allah. So they say, when I die, cremate my body because I don't want to be resurrected. Right? And even if you cremate their body, Allah will take the scattered specks of ash, even if they were scattered across the oceans, and bring the person back. This isn't even about the resurrection of a human being. This is about the resurrection of their deeds and the effects of their deeds. This is a different kind of resurrection, isn't it? It's not just the persons being resurrected. All of our deeds and the impact of our deeds are being resurrected. And that's kind of like this most powerful, incredibly powerful, enabling and humbling lesson at the same time. It's one of those places in the Quran that if a young man or young woman internalizes this, then they get two things. They get an amazing sense of humility before Allah and self-consciousness, and they get an amazing sense of confidence. And you would think humility and confidence are two opposite things, and yet they are perfectly fused with each other in this ayah. In Allah al-Latif al-Khabir. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us live the powerful teachings of this ayah, and may Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to raise a generation of Muslims that live this ayah in the way they carry themselves. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا